Praise the Lord. This is Brother Greg from the Tony Lamo Christian Ministries. Stay right with us for the next hour. We've got Spirit-filled gospel music. We've got responses to the pastor's Spirit-filled gospel literature from around the world. We have salvation testimony, and we've got a new message from Pastor Lamo. I'm sure you're not going to want to miss. Let your soul be edified, be lifted up, and set on higher spiritual ground. Right now, we're going to go up and pray and ask the Lord to bless and to anoint this broadcast. Heavenly Father, Lord and our God, we thank you, Lord, and we praise you that our cups are just running over. Lord, you never turned anyone away that came to you. Lord, you never went chasing out after anybody. But Lord, all those that come to you, you said you will in no wise cast out. Bless this service. Open up hearts, minds, understanding. Remove the ugly veil from so many people that are living in darkness. Strengthen, edify the church. Lord, let souls be saved and set free from the bondage of sin and the devil. Lord, that they can serve you with a clear conscience and a clear heart. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. We pray, amen and amen. And we're going to have some music right now. This song, sung by Pastor Lamo, "You Can't Take It With You Where You're Going."
Traffic in a turmoil by the sidewalk. Somewhere someone left to meet their fate. Other people stand around and just talk, when they could do more than just debate. Everybody's sweating about the dollar, yelling penny saved is penny. How's it gonna help them when they holler, if it sends them to a place to burn? You can't take it with you where you're going. There's no place to spend it either way. You might as well get satisfaction knowing someone had a little brighter day. Help somebody turn a tear to laughter, be Samaritan along your way. There's no social standings in hereafter, everybody dies the same old way. You can't take it with you where you're going. There's no place to spend it either way. Might as well get satisfaction knowing someone had a little brighter day. When you help somebody be free, you can't shuck the Lord now, don't you know? Helping others can be fun to feel, 'cause you can't take it with you when you go. No, you can't take it with you when you go.
I just love that song. I'm sure you do too. Right now we're going to have responses read. Sister Alice, tell us where these responses are from. And this is all to the pastor's literature that goes worldwide. Sister Alice.
The first letter is from Arkansas. It says, "I handed a man a piece of literature while he was sitting in his car. He asked me, 'Isn't Tony in prison?' I replied, 'He is, on false charges brought by paid false witnesses.' He said, "Isn't that something that can happen here in America? I'm reading the Gulag Archipelago. America is so close to a time when the president can institute martial law." He knows the Oklahoma City bombing and the 9/11 attacks were all done by the government. When I told him the real evil behind the scenes is actually the Vatican, he knew they were involved, but didn't really know they were the actual main power responsible. I asked the man how long he had been a Christian, and he said, "I actually am not a Christian, but a Muslim." I told him the prison where Tony is being held is full of Muslims and terrorists, and they actually call it Gitmo North. Then I told him that he is winning many of them to Christ. He said he would definitely read the literature and check out the ministry website. S.L., Fort Smith, Arkansas. The second letter that we have is from New York, and it's from actually Brooklyn, New York. And it starts out, "Calvary, greetings, sir. I just came across a piece of your literature that gave me better understanding of what the Christian faith is all about. I believe if such can get around to people, most lives will be saved from the lake of fire. This opportunity is hereby seized to apply for distributorship by requesting for some packs of literature. I pray for the freedom of Pastor Alamo in no distant future, in Jesus' liberating name. Thanks for granting me this privilege. Yours in his service, Toyin Sanya, Brooklyn, New York." The next letter is from the Philippines, and it starts out, "Dear Evangelist Tony Alamo, I have been longing to write you again to thank you and your staff for your wonderful program. Whenever I listen to your program, it gives me a sense of hope that no matter how difficult life has been here, everything will be taken care of by God. Your messages of hope give me strength to go on and to tackle life's trials. Words are not enough to show my gratitude, but I hope a simple thank you will do. Please continue to include me and my daughter in your prayers. In Christ, Jocelyn Ogeon, Quezon, Philippines." And the last letter we have is an email from Togo, and it was translated from French. "Greetings to the whole body of Christ. The knowledge from Pastor Tony Alamo's Christian ministry has radically changed my life. His book entitled The Messiah has made me know the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. I share the Bibles that are given by Pastor Tony Alamo, and also the thousands of pieces of literature, the audio cassettes, and his book The Messiah, with those who do not have the means to buy them. His works entitled The Fugitive Pope, The Pope's Secrets, Beware of Receiving Blessings from the Vatican, as clergy, especially their popes, have helped thousands of people from Togo to have the proper direction and to take the right path that leads to eternal life. My team and I are praying day and night for Pastor Tony Alamo to be set free. Let us take hold of Deuteronomy 28, verse 7. Quote, The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. And pray for Pastor Tony Alamo. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, be with Pastor Tony Alamo, with you, his co-workers, with your families, with all the inhabitants of the United States, with all the pastors in the world, and with us all. Yours in Christ, Achu Koku, Lome, Togo."
Thank you very much, Sister Alice. So glorious to hear the many lives that the pastor's literature has touched. It's an amazing thing what one man's life, one person that's obedient to the Lord, that's yielded to the Lord, as Pastor Alamo is, and how he's educated so many people. Thanks again so much. Now everyone knows how Tony and Susan Alamo in the late 60s went out into the streets when they were rioting and in revolution. The hippie revolution was full swing. They went right out into that mess and won all these hippies to the Lord. They were former drug addicts and thieves and people involved in student demonstrations and all these things that were going on. And yet we have a special guest with us today that was a housewife that the Lord dealt with very severely. So listen carefully to Sister Marianne as she shares with you her dynamic testimony. Sister Marianne.
I'd be more than glad to tell my testimony. I'm so thankful to be saved and in the house of God. For so many years, I was so miserable, and I was born and raised in the Los Angeles, California area in 1940. My dad was a restoration artist and made a very good living. He worked at the Los Angeles County Museum of Natural History in Exposition Park, designing and creating background scenes for the natural habitat of American wildlife animals. He also designed the natural environment for the La Brea Tar Pits in Hollywood and earned a lot of money restoring antique objects for Lloyd's of London Insurance Company. My mom was the head of periodicals at the library at Occidental College, and we never lacked for anything. And my parents were what you may call pillars of the community. I graduated from high school and got married when I was 18 years old. And at the end of my first year of marriage, I gave birth to a beautiful baby girl. By the time I was 23 years old, I had three beautiful little girls. Growing up myself in a home filled with love and with faith in God and country, I was all of a sudden seeing fast and tremendous changes in everything around me, everything I'd always believed in. I began to have a great concern for my children's future and for my own future also. My marriage, after 13 years, was completely falling apart. In fact, my whole world was becoming very insecure. I really believed that the only thing that kept me from falling apart totally and giving up was the fervent prayers of my dear Christian mother for me. Because of my mother's prayers, God sent one of his servants to faithfully witness to me. She was in her 70s, and she had been saved for over 50 years. I finally, in desperation for help, went to services at her church, and there was a summer revival going on there. I went down to the altar and asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart through the dynamic testimony of a traveling evangelist that was speaking. I received the faith that I needed to invite the Lord into my heart. I was really changed. I had a new assurance, and I had peace of mind. An incredible burden was completely gone that I had carried around for years. I never wanted to lose what I had, what the Lord had so freely and willingly given me. I told everyone I knew and everyone I met what had happened to me. I started going from church to church, seeking for a place to worship and serve God, a place to learn more about Him and what He wanted me to do. Everywhere I went became a new experience of social gatherings and superficial Christianity. I saw a lot of emotional action, but nothing solid, nothing enduring, no sincerity of really serving God, no winning of souls, no helping people in desperate need. First, I decided to just stop searching, stop going from church to church, and just read my Bible and pray. I read the scriptures in the New Testament about praying in your closet and not for show with vain repetitions. I wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit so much. I wanted the power of God in my life and the strength to stand in faith in the perilous times we were living in. I took those scriptures literally about praying in your closet. I went into my bedroom closet and sat on a bag of laundry and cried out from the very depths of my heart for God to baptize me with His precious Holy Spirit and powerful Holy Spirit. I knew I needed that power. How could He deny me? I was so sincere, I received it quickly. Now, I knew from reading God's Word that I absolutely had to serve Him with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. But how and where? I finally got very discouraged. And when I was at my lowest point, my dear older lady friend that I told you about earlier, Granny Cook, called and told me she had heard Susan Alamo on the radio. And I just had to go with her, Granny, to the services at her and Tony Alamo's church in Hollywood. She said that they were Jews, that they were saved and completely converted very supernaturally, and they were heading the greatest soul-winning ministry of this time. Now, I was skeptical because of all the churches I had been to, but one night I finally went to the services at the Tony and Susan Lama Christian Foundation on Crescent Heights Boulevard in Hollywood. The wonderful gospel music started. I looked around, and everyone was singing from their hearts. Obviously, no phoniness. I could feel the power of God's Holy Spirit, and by the time I heard the testimonies of many very sincere people, and then a message of power and faith and fear of God from Pastor Tony Ilamo, I knew I was home. I never wanted to leave those services. I went back to my house praising God for showing me and bringing me to His house, where people were serving Him in sincerity and truth. This was a time when the church was growing so fast that Tony and Susie were busy looking for more property to be able to expand and house many more people. It was 3 months after I got saved before my girls and myself could move into the church. And the whole time I was praying and begging God to make a move so that there would be enough living facilities for us. I knew this is where I wanted to be and what I wanted to do. God, in His divine mercy, had given me an experience of hell that let me know beyond any shadow of doubt that I had to lay down my life and everything that had pertained to it, to surrender all and serve Him the rest of my life. To make it to heaven, this is what I had to do. I was in a very bad car accident December 24, 1970. It was a miracle that I wasn't killed. A man hit us broadside going so fast that when he hit, his head and neck and shoulders went through his windshield. I was in a lot of pain from a whiplash and twisted back, but thank God my husband and children were shook up but okay. Our car was totaled. The next morning, I had no desire to go to my mom's for family Christmas because of the way I felt. My husband took the kids at my request and went to my mom's home for family Christmas celebration. I was at home alone, trying to rest and find a comfortable position to lie in, on my bed, when all of a sudden, the light started leaving my room, completely. Mind you, it was Christmas in sunny Southern California, 70 degrees. I had been watching the sun making patterns on the carpet as it shined through the lace curtains in my bedroom. As the light left and the suffocating darkness settled in my room, the room started heating up. My first thought was, this house is on fire and I've got to get out of here. It kept getting hotter and hotter, but I could not move. It was like I was cemented to my bed. I was burning up, literally, alive. Oh God, oh God, oh God. I tried to scream out, but I couldn't even make a noise. I was petrified. Every wrong thing, every sin I had ever committed, flooded my mind. It was so incredible. I must have never really believed that there was truly a burning hell and a lake of fire. I could now actually smell burning flesh, and as I looked down at my arm, I saw it was my flesh. It was bubbling in the intense heat. It was fast getting impossible to breathe. I was gasping for air. Mercy, dear God, oh please, mercy, I was crying from my heart. Then I heard the most insidious laughter I have ever or will ever hear. I knew it was Satan laughing at me because he had won. He had the victory. I was in hell. The feeling was so horribly helpless and hopeless. I will never and can never forget it. It was over no hope, unbelievable pain and torment that would never, ever end, only get more intense, and there was nothing I could do about it. Suddenly, it seemed like hours had passed. The light started entering back into my room, and the heat began to dissipate. The heinous laughter ceased, and the marvelous, wonderful knowledge that God Almighty heard my heart-rending cries and had mercy on me, He delivered me from an everlasting hell. I jumped out of bed and onto my knees, sobbing with tears pouring down my face. I made vows and promises to God that I would get to that church, the Tony and Susan Alamo Christian Foundation, and serve Him with every fiber of my being, heart, mind, and soul for the rest of my life. I believe I was the most thankful person on the face of the earth, and I am more thankful for His mercy and His power and the fear of going to a burning hell every day that He allows me to live. I got to the church in Canyon Country as fast as I could. Like I said earlier, I had to wait 3 months till there was room for us to move in, and it was the longest 3 months of my life. I've never been happier. I have peace of mind, a love for helping others, for telling them about salvation, that they can go to heaven, that they don't have to go to hell if they just ask Jesus into their hearts and then lay down their old lives of sin and take up their cross and follow Him and never look back. Never leave or forsake Him, and He will never leave or forsake them. What a blessing it is to serve the Almighty Living God. I am so thankful and proud to be a part of the Tony Alamo Christian Ministries. Thank you, God, for our pastor, who is so full of Your Holy Spirit and who is such a testimony of strength in You and faithfulness, who rightly divides Your word, who is being unbelievably persecuted for His non-compromising stand for God and His truth, His word. We believe You are able, God, and deliverance is soon. Thank God for everything He's done for me.
Amen, sister. Thank you so much for that testimony. And it should show everybody listening, God is no respecter of persons. You must be born again. God does not categorize sin. For our next testimony, Brother John Hopkins. Brother John.
First of all, I want to give God all the praise, the honor, and the glory for my salvation, for everything that He's done for me in my life, for changing my life, because had it not been for the mercy that was bestowed upon me, for sure I'd be in a burning hell right now. But as I look back on my life, I can recall as a child growing up in the 50s and 60s, and now my parents used to send me and my two sisters to church and Sunday school every week. And as for me, I never got anything out of church. And when I reached my teen years, I quit going because I just couldn't see any reason for sitting inside of a church. I just figured I was just wasting my time. I'd rather be at the park playing basketball or watching a basketball game on television. So I got involved, deeply involved in sports. And in my junior high and high school years, I ran track and cross country, and I played basketball and did a lot of other different sports. And eventually I got involved in drugs. And by the time I was 19 years old, I was just ready to throw in the towel and give it all up. And so I made an attempt on my life by jumping off of a four-story building. And I wound up with a broken back and two broken ankles. But had it not been for the mercy of the Lord, I for sure would be in a burning hell right now. But I thank God that He died on the cross and He chose me to be part of the strongest ministry upon the face of the earth today. And that He, by His wonderful and His Holy Spirit, He led me up to services in Saugus, California. And it was a Friday night. I remember it so clearly. It's so vivid in my mind. It was September the 8th, 1972. And during the course of the service, the Lord was really dealing with my heart. And during the altar call, I went down and I got down on my knees and I said an old-fashioned sinner's prayer. The only prayer that God will hear from an unsaved person. And when I said that prayer, I actually felt the heavens open and I felt the power of God come inside of my heart and my soul and wash away every one of my filthy, rotten sins. And that's been going on 40 years now, and I'm so glad that I made the right decision. I'm so glad that I can be counted worthy to be part of this ministry that's taken the gospel throughout the four corners of the earth. And there's nothing in this world that I would do to trade my salvation for anything in this world, because I know one day real soon this world's going to come to an end. And Jesus Christ is coming back to earth again real soon. And I just thank the Almighty God for changing my life, making me a new creature in Him, and for choosing me out of the billions of people in this world to be part of the Tony Alamo Christian Ministries. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, John, for giving us your true testimony as to what God can do in a person's life. Praise the Lord. For our next testimony, a very spirit-filled brother in Christ, Brother Moses.
Praise the Lord. My name is Moses. I've been saved for 23 years, and before that, before I got saved, I didn't know nothing about salvation. I never heard the plan of salvation before. The Lord came into my life, and when I was having a very hard time in life, I was a drunkard. I wanted to be saved. I wanted to have power over sin. I wanted to be happy in the Lord, but I couldn't find happiness in churches because nobody could tell me how to get saved, how to serve God, and to stay saved. But only till the Lord revealed Himself to me, He let me know that I was gonna die and go to hell forever. In that moment, I call up to the Lord with all my heart. I pray to the Lord and ask Him to forgive me, and He came down, and I felt the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came down, and I asked to the Lord for forgiveness, and the Lord forgave me, because I saw the brothers from this ministry, and the brothers from this ministry, they invited me to church, and that night I went to church. I gave my life to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, thank you, Moses, for sharing your testimony with us today, and the Lord has given you power over all the former sins in your life. Praise the Lord. For our next testimony, brother, a former Jehovah Witness, Brother John Curry. John, why don't you give us your testimony?
Yes, I was born in Southern California, and I was raised almost 16 years as a Jehovah's Witness. Going to church then was, well, let's put it this way, there was nothing going on there. It was pretty dead. I went to church just because it was routine with my family to go. And as I got older, into my teens, around 18, I decided to leave home and go out on my own and search for what I thought might be something more in life. As I got out into the streets and on that search, I got involved in drugs, alcohol, and a lot of gang violence. And my life just started spiraling downhill. It took a turn for the worst. I didn't want to do the things that I were doing, but I had no power to overcome, to be able to correct my ways. I ended up on the streets of Los Angeles on Skid Row, living in a box, and I was there for almost 4 years. I had a steady job, and at the end of the day, I would come home and I would go right back to my box. I had my alcohol, and I thought, well, if this is all there is to life, then this is how I'm going to live it. And one day I was walking down the street of Los Angeles on 5th and Broadway when I encountered one of the brothers from this ministry who preached to me the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. I wanted to leave, I wanted to keep going, but my feet would not move. I was stuck in that spot, and I heard the gospel preached to me, and something inside of me was telling me that this is what I was looking for. I was invited up to the services at our church there in Saugus, California, and this was back in 1987. And when I got up to the church that night, even before I entered the building, I could see a glow. I could see something was going on. It wasn't like just any kind of lights illuminating, but it was something different, something unexplainable. And when I went into the church that night, everybody was so happy to see me, and I thought to myself, what is this? These people don't even know who I am, but they're so happy to see me, and they were walking up to me and introducing themselves and making me feel right at home. And our pastor preached the message that night, and he preached the message and the power of the Holy Spirit. He preached hellfire and brimstone. And at the end of that service, I didn't need anyone to come to me and take me down to that altar, but I got up on my own and went down, and I gave my heart and my soul to the Almighty Living God that night. And it's been over 24 years, and I don't regret one moment of it. My life has changed. I'm a completely different person. I have no desires to do the things that I have done in the past. And I thank and praise the Almighty Living God for the peace and the joy that He's given me in my heart and my soul, and the desire to keep His commandments and do everything that He wants for me to do. I love to go out and tell others about the Lord, and just as I was told, and I'm so thankful for this ministry, for pastors who laid down their lives so that we could have a way to escape a burning hell, and I'm so thankful for my salvation in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, John. It's for sure you finally found peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now on this broadcast, we're going to have Sister Sharon read from Pastor Lamo's book titled The Messiah According to Bible Prophecy. And this book tells of the hundreds of prophecies of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, proving that He could be the only true Messiah. Now, this book is going to take several broadcasts to read through, and we'll have Sister Sharon reading from Pastor Lamo's book titled The Messiah.
The Messiah According to Bible Prophecy by Tony Lamo. Absolute proof that Jesus is the only way to the kingdom of heaven. The biblical references in this book are from the King James, original Aramaic, Hebrew, and Greek versions of the Bible. To him give all the prophets witness. Acts 10:43. In the volume of the book it is written of me. Psalm 47, Hebrews 10:7. Introduction. The most amazing drama ever presented to the mind of man. A drama written in prophecy in the Old Testament and in biography in the four Gospels is the narrative of Jesus the Christ. One outstanding fact among many completely isolates him. It is this, that only one man in the history of the world has had explicit details given beforehand of his birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. These details are in documents which were given to the public centuries before he appeared, and no one challenges or can challenge the fact that these documents were widely circulated long before his birth. Anyone and everyone can compare for himself the actual records of his life with these old documents and see that they match one another perfectly. The challenge of this indisputable miracle is that it happened concerning only one man in the whole history of the world. Let's focus our attention on the unparalleled wonder of this literary miracle. Think for a moment. Who could have pre-written a life of George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, or any other character hundreds and thousands of years before he was born? Nowhere in any of the literature of the world, secular or religious, can one find a duplicate of the astounding miracle of the pre-written life of Christ. The inspiration for that portrait came from the heavenly gallery, not from the studio of an earthly artist. So amazing is this miracle of the pre-written life of Christ and its perfect fulfillment in Jesus of Nazareth that nothing but divine prescience could have foreseen it, and nothing but divine power could accomplish it. As the full evidence is presented here, all thoughtful readers will agree that the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:21. Four great truths demonstrated by this fact. With no variations or aberrations between the Old Testament predictions of the coming Messiah and the New Testament fulfillment in Jesus of Nazareth, one instinctively leaps to the conclusion that the hand which drew the image in prophecy molded the portrait in history. The inevitable conclusion is fourfold. One, it proves that the Bible is the inspired word of God. For unaided man is neither capable of writing nor fulfilling such a literary wonder. Two, it proves that the God of the Bible, the only one who knows the end from the beginning, he who alone has the power to fulfill all his word, is the true and living God. Three, it demonstrates that the God of the Bible is both all-knowing, able to foretell the future, entwined around numberless men who are free moral agents, and all-powerful, able to bring to pass a perfect fulfillment of his word in the midst of widespread unbelief, ignorance, and rebellion on the part of man. Four, it demonstrates that Jesus of Nazareth, who so perfectly and completely fulfilled all the Old Testament predictions, is indeed the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the Son of the living God. Christ is the center of history. Christ is seen to be the center of all history, as well as the central theme of the Bible. The Christ of the New Testament is the fruit of the tree of life, is the tree of prophecy, and is true born by the Spirit. Spirit-filled, washed in the blood of Jesus, Christianity is the realization of a plan, the first outlines of which were sketched more than 1,500 years before Christ's birth.
Thank you very much, Sister Sharon, for reading that portion of Pastor Lamo's booklet titled The Messiah According to Bible Prophecy. And I know we're going to be reading more in broadcasts yet to come. Right now we're going to read one of the pastor's latest pieces of literature. This is titled Why Satan Hangs Out in True Christian Churches by Tony Lamo. After Jesus taught the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, verse 18, he then likened the seed to the children of the kingdom of heaven. The sower, he said, was the Son of Man, and the four types of soil were the hearts of four different types of people. When someone hears the seed, which is the word of God, the word of the kingdom of heaven, and they don't understand it, it is because the wicked one, the devil, comes and catcheth away the seed which was sown in his heart. This man is the one who received seed by the wayside. And one who received seed, God's word, into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, but it does not have any root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of God's word, by and by he is offended. The one who received seed that is sown among the thorns is he that hears the word of God, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, wins souls to the kingdom, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. That's Matthew chapter 13, verses 19 to 23. In another parable, Jesus taught them by saying, the kingdom of heaven, here on earth, is like a good church, which teaches and preaches the kingdom of heaven. The church of born-again believers is at hand. The kingdom of heaven on earth is also compared to a man, a pastor, and church followers, which sows good seed, the word of God, the King James Version, in his field. But while men slept, his enemy, the devil, came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and went his way to another good church. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the weeds also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed, the word of God, in thy field, in your church? How then are there weeds? He said unto them, An enemy, the devil, hath done this, moved some of his people into our church. Jesus had one, Judas. The servant said unto him, Do you want us to go and gather them up, put them out of the church? But he said, No, because while you gather up the weeds, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say unto the reapers, Gather ye together first the weeds, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30. After Jesus sent the multitude away, his disciples said unto him, Declare unto us the parable of the weeds in the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. All of us that sow by the Spirit know it is Jesus' Spirit in us that does it. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the weeds are the children of the wicked one, the devil. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the weeds are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's Matthew chapter 13, verses 36 to 43. The word of God is so true. The devil has, through the years, sowed into my church many devils. These devils, when called upon by demonic government agents, secular, bear false testimony against the church and against me. They are liars, and it is the end of time. All of them will burn in the furnace. Jesus said, When you are a fisher of mankind, it is like throwing a net into the sea. When you empty the net, you find some good fish, lawful to eat, and some unclean fish, like sharks, swordfish, eels, shrimp, oysters, clams, lobsters, crabs, and catfish that you throw back into the water because God said they're unclean. That's Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 through 50. Only those who are of God may stay in the church. All liars, including those who bear false testimony, lesbians, unrepentant whores, adulteresses, fornicators, thieves, and all other unrepentant sinners have been put out of the church. They, with their lies, will try to spoil the good people of God. The devils like to hang around the church until they are discovered, measured by God's word, then put back out into the world where they belong, until the end. When you say this prayer, Jesus will come into your body and save your soul. And we'll go into that sinner's prayer after the next piece of literature. Looks like we have time for another one. And we're going to ask Sister Michelle to read a recent piece of literature written by Pastor Lamo. Sister Michelle.
Are You a Member of the Image of the Beast? By Tony Lamo, Volume 14700. Those who live their lives outside of Christ are members of the body of the, quote, image of the beast, Revelation chapter 13, verse 15. Just as we who are born again of the Spirit are the members of the body of Christ and are the image and likeness of Him, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Christ is the only member of the Godhead who has an image. The beast, world government, is given its power and seat in Rome by the devil to bear his image, which God calls the image of the beast, Revelation chapter 13, verse 4 and 15. We, by the Holy Spirit, are to do what Christ says and does, now that we are born again of the Spirit. We now bear the image and likeness of Christ, if we remain in the Spirit as Adam did before he sinned. What the beast world government does is what satanic people do. They are the image of Satan, the beast, the world government. Just as Christ has the power to give eternal life to those who bear his image, his likeness, the devil too has the power to give a seemingly good temporal life to some of his followers, those who bear his image and are like him. He gives temporal life to his image, Revelation chapter 13, verse 15. The devil gives his temporary power to the people who follow him, which again is the UN One World Government, headed by him whose seat, world headquarters, is in the city of the Seven Mountains, Rome, the Vatican, Revelation chapter 17, verse 9. Obama is nothing more than a puppet for the Pope and Satan's world government. He only does what he is told for Satan's beast. Almost all U.S. presidents were mere puppets for Satan's beast of Rome. Rome absolutely does not want anyone to know they are calling all the shots in the world today. So she has appointed many very stupid but loyal, temporary, glory-hunting puppets as presidents, newsmen, and newswomen to distract the world population from finding the source of all the world's corruption. They all must be willing to take the blame. The Vatican is, quote, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, Revelation chapter 17, verse 5. It really doesn't matter who you vote for. The Bible tells us that Satan has deceived the whole world. You're on a big trip. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 15, the Bible tells us the devil's Roman beast has the power to give temporal life to you who are members of the image of the beast. All those who follow the beast are the life of the image of the beast. And to all those who bear his demonic image, all those who do what he says. All these decoys, possibly you, speak favorably regarding the beast. So new laws, which are more of Satan's evil laws, are soon coming. Again, Rome is Satan's seat, Revelation chapter 13, verse 2, and chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. All of these new demonic laws are accepted by those who carry his image. They do what the satanic beast world government does, such as stating, since many will not worship the image and likeness of the beast or bear his image, they should be murdered, put to death. The satanic Roman beast, one world government, the UN, causes, quote, that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, except he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, which is also obedience to Antichrist, or the number of his name. Revelation chapter 13, verses 15 through 17. Look in the mirror at your image. Are you seeing the image and likeness of Jesus or the devil? Christ or Antichrist? Are you doing God's will, or are you a child of the devil? Do you walk with Christ or the Antichrist? In John chapter 6, verse 66, the Apostle John states what the number is of a man who walks no more with Christ. Isn't it remarkable that John said there were many antichrists in his time? 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Today, they are all organized into one big body of people, the lawless one. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In John chapter 6, verse 666, John said all those who walk no more with Christ are antichrists, members of the devil. All those who walk in the Spirit of God, in communion with Christ, who belong to God, are the bride and members of the body of Christ, the New Jerusalem, Christ's wife. Revelation 21, verses 9 through 27. We who are the members of Christ are going to attend the marriage supper of the Lamb with the bridegroom, Jesus. Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 through 9. We all have to make a choice as to whether we will be with Christ in heaven forever or with the false prophet, the dragon, the devil, the beast, the antichrist. All those who follow Satan, the false prophet, the beast, will be in the lake of fire forever. If your choice is to be in heaven with Christ, then say this prayer to the Almighty God now.
So let's pray. If you're not saved, let's pray the sinner's prayer. Nothing, nothing should be more important to you than this prayer. This is the most important decision that you could make in your entire life. Just repeat this prayer. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former sins. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that he sits on the right hand of God at this moment, hearing my confession of sin and this prayer. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed in my place on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will forgive my sins and save my soul. I know because your word, the Bible, says so. Your word says that you will turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I am saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. And I will show my thankfulness by doing as you command, and sin no more. And if you've said that prayer and you meant it with all your heart and soul, just raise your hand. Raise your hands and praise and thank the living God for his great mercy, as all the angels in heaven rejoice when one sinner comes to repentance, and as you feel the peace of God flood your soul and the joy of the Lord overwhelm you. Worship the Lord and praise him and thank him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we're going to tell you four different ways that you can receive a copy of this literature or messages from the pastor on cassette or CD. Write to Tony Lamo, World Pastor, Tony Lamo Christian Ministries Worldwide, Post Office Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or you can call the 24-hour prayer and information line at 479-782-7370, or you can fax to 479-782-7406, or visit on the website at www.alamoministries.com and info@alamoministries.com. We're so glad you were with us for this hour. Be with us next time and nourish your soul and come to the Lord and receive these glorious messages so that you can grow and learn and mature in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now we'll have Pastor Lamo singing for you. Lead me, O Lord. Won't you lead me?
Lead me, O Lord.
I am tired and I need thy strength and power to guide me, O Lord, all my darkest hour. Lord, just open mine eyes that I might see.
Lead me on, Lord, won't you lead me? Lead me, guide me
along the way. For if you lead me, I cannot stray. Lord, just open my eyes that I may see.
Lead me, Lord, won't you lead me?
I am lost if you take your hand from me. I am blind without thy light to see. Lord, just always let me thy servant be.
Lead me, O Lord, won't you lead me? Lead me, guide me along the way. For if you lead me, I cannot stray.
Lord, just open my eyes that I may see.
Lead me, oh Lord, won't you lead me?
Lead me.